This Marketplace podcast is supported by Ascensus, helping people dream bigger, aim higher, and save more with financial confidence. Unleash the power of your retirement savings plan with innovative technology that makes things easy, top-notch service from experts who care, and flexible solutions that can grow with you. For more than 40 years, Ascensus has been helping savers achieve their goals. We can help you achieve yours, too. Learn more at Ascensus.com. That's ASCENSUS.com.
Traditional revenue sources for public media and really the media at large are declining this year, and we at Marketplace are not immune to these trends. We're currently tracking behind target for this budget year. We are tightening up expenses, but the need for trusted, grounded, fact-based reporting is as pressing as ever. We can't cut back on our mission, so we are turning to listeners like you. Please step up now and invest in Marketplace. If you haven't yet given, now is the time. Go to marketplace.org/donate. It is a volatile day for stock markets here and abroad. I'm David Brancaccio, concerned that China's second biggest property development company might not be able to pay its debts is among reasons that stock markets have dropped sharply around the world today. That company is called Evergrande, and investors are betting China's government wouldn't bail it out. In the first 20 minutes of trading here, the Dow is down 417 points, 1.2%. The S&P is down 1.4%. The NASDAQ is down 1.6%. Just check London. It's down 1.3% now. Let's check in live with economist Julia Coronado at Macro Policy Perspectives. Hi there.
Good morning.
Hate to bring it up, but when Wall Street giant Lehman Brothers did not get bailed out in 2008, it changed the world. Is this shaping up to be China's version of that?
I don't think that Lehman Brothers is the right comparison. Most of the investors are in China, so it's not a global event. It is very contained within China, and we know that the Chinese government has the wherewithal to step in. It's just trying to decide to draw the line a little further from where it usually does to discourage speculation in the real estate industry.
And there's also a game of chicken in Washington over whether to prevent a U.S. default by raising the upper limit on government borrowing.
Yes, that's definitely adding to the concerns, and not just the debt limit issue, but also the fiscal packages are in peril this morning. And so there's a real possibility that we could end up with nothing and a debt ceiling crisis, not the base case, but a meaningful likelihood that's probably adding to the mix of worries this morning.
All right. One of those Mondays. Julia Coronado, economist. She's the founder of Macro Policy Perspectives. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Now to labor in short supply, including schools, where it's very hard to find substitutes if the regular teacher is out sick or in quarantine. Marketplace's Amanda Peacher has that.
Substitute teaching is a hard job anytime, but Lori Schieffer, who trains substitutes with the Substitute Teacher Academy, says it's particularly tough now.
Some people don't want to expose themselves to potentially getting the virus.
And the virus is spreading rapidly in some schools. Kathleen Tuck is with the Nampa School District in Idaho with about 13,000 students. During our 20-minute interview, the number of confirmed infections reported by her school district kept ticking up.
Our number's now 97, started at 93.
Those include students and teachers. Idaho put $10 million towards substitute teacher recruitment. School districts nationwide are offering more pay and bonuses. Still, Tuck says last week her district was short 114 substitutes, and front desk staff, even security guards, have been asked to fill in.
We're pretty desperate in some schools.
She says the labor shortage doesn't help. Even if school districts can offer substitutes more pay, there are many, many other job options out there. I'm Amanda Peacher for Marketplace.
And did I mention the big shortage of school bus drivers? If you have a clean record, they want you. Thank you. Traditional revenue sources for public media, and really the media at large, are declining this year, and we at Marketplace are not immune to these trends. We're currently tracking behind target for this budget year. We are tightening up expenses, but the need for trusted, grounded, fact-based reporting is as pressing as ever. We can't cut back on our mission, so we are turning to listeners like you. Please step up now and invest in Marketplace. If you haven't yet given, now is the time. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm David Brancaccio. The price of natural gas has been running very high, almost twice what it was in the spring. It's also used to generate a lot of electricity, Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer reports.
You can blame the higher natural gas prices on something we talk about all the time on Marketplace, supply and demand. It was a hot summer, especially in the Northwest. Demand for natural gas soared as air conditioners worked overtime. Utilities were competing for natural gas with companies who use it to make things like plastic, glass, chemicals, and fertilizer. The U.S. is also exporting more natural gas to places like Europe, which also had a hot summer. Then there's the supply side of the equation. The Federal Bureau of Safety and Environmental Enforcement says more than a third of the gas production in the Gulf of Mexico is still offline because of damage and disruption from Hurricane Ida. Prices have risen to the highest levels in 7 years. Not surprisingly, the U.S. Energy Information Administration estimates U.S. consumption of natural gas will fall this year as power companies switch from natural gas to cheaper coal. I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
Electric cars need batteries, and those batteries require special metals, which can be hard to find. And there are metals on the ocean floor, as Fergus Nickel reports.
If you sail more than 1,000 miles off the coast of southern Mexico and then dive more than 2.5 miles down, as deep as the Swiss Alps are high, you'd find the ocean floor littered with polymetallic nodules. Professor Thomas Dahlgren, a marine biologist at the University of Gothenburg in Sweden, told me what they contain.
Polymetallic nodules are potato-shaped formations on the seafloor that contains a number of metals such as manganese, copper, and nickel and cobalt.
The potential yield from these nodules in just one area off Mexico could be as much as 6 billion tons of manganese, 270 million tons of nickel, 230 million tons of copper, and 50 million tons of cobalt. No wonder the metals company has started trading on the Nasdaq to fund the first commercial exploitation of the deep ocean floor. Their CEO is Gerard Barron.
It's an expensive game to operate. You know, it's a very harsh environment. On the first area that we're planning to harvest our nodules from, we'll spend over $7 billion. You know, we are approaching it with a very environmentally conscious awareness.
Environmental activists aren't satisfied by such reassurances. Dr. Kirsten Thompson, a lecturer in the biosciences faculty at the University of Exeter in southwest England, has collaborated with Greenpeace on a report that questions many aspects of mining this precious landscape.
We don't understand the ecosystem processes or the functional ecology of the deep sea in the way that we need to be able to gauge and estimate the risks. What we do know is that these risks are irreversible, and so therefore the impacts of deep sea mining will be high.
The organization set up by the United Nations to oversee any extraction of resources is the International Seabed Authority. Their Secretary General is Michael Lodge, and he told me they have real power.
We have powers to enforce compliance against contractors. We can issue fines. And yes, ultimately, we can shut an operation down and terminate the contract.
So the business may eventually be lucrative, but the scrutiny is intense. I'm the BBC's Fergus Nicol for Marketplace.
Suppose I should say, given the topic here, that Mr. Nicol spells it N-I-C-O-L-L. The Dow at the moment down 401 points, 1.2%. I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.